some of these Bison fans are now getting after me again for saying that. All I said was, number one, play the game. Okay, quit making excuses. Don't make excuses about why you don't want to play UND. Stop this whole train of thought about how, oh, we've moved past them. Just stop it. Okay, just play the game. Find a way to play the game. And the second part of it is, again, if you're so confident that your team is so much better than UND, then you should have no problem playing the game because you're going to beat them by whatever score you want to beat them by. That was my point saying that, the Bison should have played them this year or last season in 2013 because NDSU would have been able to name the score because UND was horrible and NDSU was fantastic. Maybe the best FCS team ever. But I mean, don't give me the stuff about how, well, we're not afraid to play them. In fact, a text message comes in and says, Mike, did you seriously say there are Bison fans scared of the Bison playing UND? Fargo South isn't even afraid of playing UND. Okay, then play him. Then call your athletic director, call Gene Taylor, and say, Gene, play him. Because we're not afraid of him. Fargo South's not afraid of him. There's nothing to be afraid of. Play them. What could possibly be holding up the rivalry? And by the way, again, from what I've heard, Gene Taylor's offered to play every other year, Brian Faison. So the ball's in Faison's court. He said no. But what are you possibly afraid of if you're that confident that your team's going to wallop UND? You should be welcoming the game. You should be knocking on Gene Taylor's door. Gene, let's play the game. We're going to kick their butts. But instead, you're texting me going, oh, we're not afraid of them, but we're not going to play them, but we're not afraid of them. Might be afraid of them. Let's end this discussion here. Let's bring in Heidi Durand, who is a member of the Moorhead City Council, and I have some very important things to talk about Heidi Durand with. Hello, Heidi. Hello. Durand. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm sorry you got mixed up in my little mini rant there. I apologize for that.
That's okay.
I'm a little fired up.
I hear that.
I had a question for you, because I don't know how to refer to you. Are you a city council person? Are you a city council man? Are you a city council woman? What would you prefer?
You know, just keep it simple and say I'm a member of the Moorhead City Council.
Oh, but that's too many words. I have a couple prepositions in there. I want just simplicity. I'm a wordsmith. Come on.
Council person.
Okay, fine. Heidi Durand, council person for the great city of Moorhead, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Good. So you are involved in something called the Minimum Wage Challenge. I saw you post something on Facebook this morning about this, Heidi, and I want you to tell the world about this because I think this is pretty important. I think it's pretty neat that you're doing this, but I think it's pretty darn important that a real person in a governmental position of power is willing to live by minimum wage to see what it is like. Tell us all about this.
Well, I'd be happy to. Last week, I was contacted by an organization called Working America, and they are kind of an affiliate of the AFL-CIO down in St. Paul. And my name was brought up as a person in greater Minnesota, an elected official who might be interested in taking the challenge. And in my conversation with her, she outlined the expectations and whatnot, and the purpose and the intent. And asked if I'd be interested, and I said, yeah, of course. I personally would be more than happy to do it. I brought the invitation home to my spouse and said, what do you think? And he said, well, can I do it too? And I said, yeah, you are more than welcome to join me.
What does it entail? So how much money can you spend? What are the limits here? What are the parameters we're talking about?
Mm-hmm. We are given a budget based on averages for the state of Minnesota. So we're given about, let me think here. What was the number? Roughly $850 a month for one person. So then since my husband is doing it with me, we obviously multiply that by two. And it comes down to about $8 a day in food. We have to, consider all of these different cognitive challenges. Like, if we were, in fact, living on minimum wage, could we afford our mortgage? Could we afford the vehicles that we have? And so, obviously, we're not going to go out and sell our home or sell our vehicle. But for the week, we have to consider what would we do in that situation. And we would not be able to afford our mortgage. we wouldn't be able to afford two vehicles. And so one of the challenges, the first challenge that we had to figure out came this morning when I was expected to be in Fergus Falls. My husband was expected to be at work. So he needed the car because we did park our other vehicle for the week. But I did have some coworkers who said I could tag along with them. So we got that task figured out. And then things like, utility, how much would we be budgeted or how much could we afford for utilities? All those big ticket expenses that you'd normally would consider when putting together a budget, but some of the little ones too, like things like toiletries. I mean, the parameter was, you have to start over. So put your toiletries away. And figure out if you can afford to go out and buy shampoo, deodorant, lotion, makeup, hair products, even things like laundry soap, household cleaners. And those, interestingly enough, those are the things that people forget about, I think, the quickest, because we take those things for granted, that everyone can afford shampoo and everybody can afford toothpaste and toothbrushes. And so that one was kind of an eye-opener for me.
Well, I mean, just when you said the words $8 a day on food, I mean, Stop and think about that, because I am not a wealthy person. I'm not, anywhere near there. But if I go out for lunch and I grab a sandwich at a grocery store and a bag of chips and some pop or something, or a glass of milk or a carton of milk, I mean, it quickly adds up to $7, $8, $9, $10 just for lunch, just for that, a very simple lunch. So $8 a day in food.
And that's for two people. So you would have eaten your spouse's lunch as well. So you would have eaten her money as well.
Wow.
In that one meal. Yeah.
I mean, to me, that puts it really in perspective about how people on minimum wage, how they struggle to pay the bills.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Well, and we had a duty day in Fergus Falls today and on campus. And so lunch was provided and all of this food was an abundance, and I thought to myself, wow, I should probably take some of these apples home with me because I won't be able to afford, fresh fruit for the week. Or, look at all this food that is just out there, and how many people would, couldn't pass up that was an interesting thought I had today.
So
kind of an awakening.
So how long are you doing this? And what's the goal? What's the purpose of the exercise?
It's 7 days, so one full week. And the goal is really, it's to draw attention to the issue and to engage people in the conversation and start having conversation and discussions regarding, increases to the minimum wage. And what will that do? What are the consequences? Because there are consequences. It's an easy thought just to simply say, well, pay people more money and everybody will be happy. But we know that there are ramifications and there are consequences that we have to consider as well. And so it really is, the goal is to draw attention to the issue, but as well as engaging people in the conversation and the struggles and the obstacles that we really face with this issue.
Well, and the thing that I've always tried to get out on this program is, whenever the conversation about minimum wage comes up, invariably somebody will call or email and say, well, I mean, it's just a bunch of college kids. It's just a bunch of high school kids working at a fast food joint. It doesn't matter whether they make $7 an hour or $10 an hour, but our economy has changed. And the fact is that it's not just college kids. It's not just high school people. There are adults with families who have minimum wage jobs. And if you pay attention, if you look around you in this world and see who is working now at a McDonald's or a Burger King or any other restaurant, I see a lot of faces that are not college age or high school age.
Right. Well, according to the Department of Labor, there's about 3.6 million people who make minimum wage or who are considered minimum wage earners, and about 2/3 of them are adult women. So there you go right there. It is not a majority of high school kids who are working at the McDonald's or the Dairy Queen down the street or whatnot. It's adults.
Trying to raise a family, trying to have a home over their heads or a roof over their heads and trying to get by day to day. That's the part that I struggle with. And I understand that there are ramifications. I understand there's consequences. But I think that we have to at least look at it honestly and say, you know, you can't just dismiss it and say, that's a bunch of college kids or bad.
Right.
Go get a better job. If you don't like your job, go get a better job. Well,
exactly.
They would if they could. If they had the opportunity, right. Maybe they would. But mm-hmm. That's a whole different topic for a different day. Very quickly, another question for you, Heidi. Tonight, the Morehead City Council is meeting to talk about Oakport Township and the annexation of Oakport coming in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
All things are on the table. It sounds like there's at least a plan out there, a proposal out there. Can you tell us some details about that and where do you think this might go?
Well, tonight is just a committee of the whole meeting, so we'll just be getting some information from the city manager. There won't be any decisions or any votes tonight. I believe that is next week where we'll be looking at track 2 in Oakport and when the official annexation will take place, which is January 1st, 2015. And so we'll hear City Manager Redlinger's recommendations and other planning recommendations as well. But the vote comes next week. It sounds, you know, that we've had many years that we knew this was all coming, and things are falling into place right now. I think one of the big issues is Morehead Public Service and, you know, who's going to provide electricity and utilities out there. That's, you know, an area where there's still some work to be done. But it is, those conversations are happening and there are people who are definitely on the ball on that as well. So.
Okay. All right, Heidi. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Councilperson Durand. I appreciate you coming on the program today. Come back again, okay?
Yeah, anytime. Thank you.
You bet. Morehead City Councilperson Heidi Durand. I applaud her for going through the exercise of the minimum wage challenge.